Almighty and everlasting God, the Lord of our life and death, we desire to acknowledge thee in all our ways and in all the events which befall us, in sorrow of heart, yet in quietness and confidence, we have gathered for these last solemn commemorations of our fallen leader. Lift us above the shadow and the sadness of mortality into the light of thy countenance and the comfort of thy presence. Speak to us thy word of peace as we stand now in the shadow of death. It is thine own hour, the loneliness and the silence thou hast made, but thou canst not do thy children any harm, in sorrow as in joy, in loss as in gain, in life as in death, we confess thee to be good. Thou art the Lord of life, we trust in thee, and we invoke now thy blessings upon us in this hour of memory, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Vice President, Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Less than 6 months ago, many of us who are here this afternoon met in this beautiful place for the traditional Memorial Day ceremonies. On that occasion, as we paid our homage and respects to the thousands of heroes lying in their nearby graves, or whose names are commemorated on the adjacent walls, it would have been utterly impossible for us to have visualized our presence here again so soon, and for such a tragic reason as the one that brings us back today. This time, we are met to pay tribute to John Fitzgerald Kennedy, our Commander-in-Chief, who, like those memorialized here, gave his life in line of duty not only for his country, but also for humanity as a whole. To Americans, it is comforting that President and Mrs. Macapagal and other officials will be representing the Filipino people and nation at the service in Washington. We are grateful that Vice President Pelayas is participating with us in this service and that other distinguished officials are present. These tangible evidences of affection and friendship, as well as the many messages and gestures of sympathy from so many of our Filipino friends, not only demonstrate great admiration and respect for our late president, but also they reaffirm the true significance of the special ties that bind our two countries together so closely. Eleven days before John F. Kennedy took office as President of the United States, on January 20th, 1961, he addressed the legislature of his home state of Massachusetts. Speaking on his home ground, among men who had known him all his political life, as well as his father and grandfather before him, Mr. Kennedy thoughtfully specified four questions, the answers to which he felt measures success or failure in public office. Here are Mr. Kennedy's four questions. First, were we truly men of courage, with the courage to stand up to one's enemies and the courage to stand up, when necessary, to one's associates, the courage to resist public pressure as well as private greed? Second, were we truly men of judgment, with perceptive judgment of the future as well as the past, of our own mistakes as well as the mistakes of others, with enough wisdom to know what we did not know and enough candor to admit it? Third, were we truly men of integrity? Men who never ran out on either the principles in which we believed or the people who believed in us. Men whom neither financial gain nor political ambition could ever divert from the fulfillment of our sacred trust. Finally, were we truly men of dedication, with an honor mortgaged to no single individual or group, and compromised by no private obligation or aim, but devoted solely to serving the public good and the national interest? Mr. Kennedy summarized these four questions in terms of courage, judgment, integrity, and dedication. He expressed the hope that with God's help, his administration would be characterized by those four qualities. This is not the time, nor is it the place, to analyze or appraise the accomplishments of the Kennedy administration. It is certainly too early to speak from any valid historical perspective. I suggest, however, that in the short 3 years of his stewardship as president, John F. Kennedy gave leadership which clearly exemplified courage, judgment, integrity, and dedication. Not only did he himself demonstrate those four principal qualities of public responsibility, but by his own inspiration and example, he helped many others seek those same high goals which he had set. As he put it, of those to whom much is given, much is required. Of course, it seems bitterly ironic that a man so intelligent, so accomplished, so personable, so humane, with so many bright and constructive years potentially ahead of him, should have been struck down so brutally in the very prime of his life. Why did it happen? How could it have happened? These are the kind of questions we cannot help asking ourselves, questions which we know full well are inexplicable from any perspective that is merely human. However, there are some things of which we can be sure. All of us here, coupled with our own personal sorrow at the loss of a great man who meant much to all of us, our deep personal sympathy for President Kennedy's family, his wife, his children, his parents, his brothers and sisters, and the others. We ask God's blessing on each of them in this hour of their sadness and of their grief. May they find strength to meet sorrow and faith to endure. As for the rest of us, each can face his own particular future with greater vision, with greater determination, with greater humility, with greater humanity, because of John F. Kennedy. We Americans should keep reminding ourselves of those oft-quoted words in his inaugural address: ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And for others, he urged, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. This is a better world because John F. Kennedy lived in it. Much was expected of him, and he was not found wanting. The fact that we are gathered here in such numbers, just as millions of others are meeting in similar fashion in many places around the world, is a great tribute to him. Not only will he be immortal as a great leader and a great statesman, but even more important, he will be remembered as a great humanitarian who zealously and patiently sought a world of peace, of justice, and equality of treatment and opportunity for all. Each of us and each person everywhere will remember John F. Kennedy for different reasons and in a different personal way. Nevertheless, let all of us remember in common his devotion to the rights and freedom of each human individual. To him, freedom was the ultimate. For as he said, let every nation know that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival of liberty.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Psalm 129 by David. Out of the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hearken to my plea. Let thine ear be attentive to my suppliant sigh. If thou shouldst retain in memory our offenses, O Lord, who would have strength to bear it? But there is forgiveness from thee, in order that thou mayest be revered. Yea, in God do I trust, and my soul hopeth in his word. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchman for the dawn. More than watchman for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and the plenitude of redemption is with him. Yea, he shall redeem Israel from all guilt. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. And let us pray. O Lord Jesus, King of martyrs, comfort of the afflicted, support and consolation of all those who suffer because of loyalty to ideals, implanted in the hearts of men by a wise Creator, in your kindness hear our fervent prayers for our honored, martyred President of the United States of America, and bless these commemorative exercises here by a grateful people. Grant that looking backward on the heritage he has left us, we may be strengthened in our determination to hand down to next generations a burning patriotism, so their hearts too may be on fire as his was, with love of God, love of country, and love of their fellow men. Amen. And let us pray. O God, whose nature it is ever to have mercy and to spare, humbly we beseech thee, on behalf of the soul of thy servant, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, whom thou hast called out of this world, deliver not his soul into the hands of the enemy, and forget him not forever, but command that he be received by the holy angels and taken into the heavenly fatherland. Thus let him who believed in thee and hoped in thee come into possession of joys everlasting, through Christ our Lord. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. I am honored to present the Vice President of the Philippines.
Ambassador and Mrs. Stevenson, Excellencies, distinguished officials of the Philippine government and the American government, ladies and gentlemen. Early Saturday morning, the Filipino people awoke to the shocking announcement that John F. Kennedy, 35th President of the United States of America, was dead. The news not only shocked Filipinos, more than that, it struck them with a deep sense of personal loss. The moment of tragedy served as a reminder to Filipinos that in their hearts they have a special place for America, for the people who helped them through the years after the turn of this century towards the attainment of their aspiration for independence. If anyone had any doubts of the deep friendship of the Filipino people for America, this moment of shared grief erased all that. The tragic death of President Kennedy underscored the abiding ties that hold together our two peoples, united by the same ideals, the same aspirations, and indeed by the same fears of the future. It was my privilege and good fortune to talk with President Kennedy twice on problems affecting the Philippines and the United States. On both occasions, preoccupied as he was with problems of larger dimensions, such as the ban on nuclear testing and other thorny issues of the Cold War, he nevertheless displayed a keen interest in Philippine affairs, as well as a genuine desire to see this country forge ahead in its efforts towards a better life. So lively was his interest in the Philippines that he even found time to discuss with me the Philippine Declaration of Independence of June 12, 1898, particularly the references in that historic document to the libertarian principles of the United States. But let me not speak of John Kennedy only in relation to the Philippines. Let me speak of him rather as the leader of mankind that he was. For the assassination of President Kennedy was a crime not only on the person of a great man, or only against the great American nation, or only against the alliance of democratic countries the world over. It was indeed a crime committed against mankind itself. As a nation, America can trace her power to the beginning of this century when the United States government organized the resources of private groups, utilized the inventions of gifted individuals, reformed the structure of government, and launched an international policy that broke old power blocks and spread democracy. Yet, it is rare, even for a nation with a history favored by destiny as the United States has been, to have a leader with the vision, the ideal, and the determination to translate this ideal into fact as President Kennedy. Although he was hardly three full years in the presidency, Mr. Kennedy was already being compared by contemporary historians not only to the equally visionary Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but even to that towering figure in the epic of human freedom, Abraham Lincoln, whose Emancipation Proclamation striking down slavery was put into active practice by the Kennedy administration with its civil rights program. President Kennedy once declared that as long as there is one man in bondage anywhere in the world, mankind cannot claim that it enjoys freedom. To a humanitarian of Mr. Kennedy's gigantic devotion, the chain that bound one man also bound all men in the imprisonment of the human spirit. And so it is that his death is felt by human beings everywhere who realize that in him there was a leader of a great nation who was ready to champion liberty and therefore assure the progress of civilization, since only in liberty can civilization flourish. But it was not only in seeking the equality of men that President Kennedy became the symbol of the hope of the modern world. This modern world he characterized in his inaugural address as one where men have the power to end poverty, disease, and all the ancient evils that shackle society, as well as the power to destroy the earth itself. And in his quest for peace, President Kennedy devoted as much passion as in his quest for the equality of man. With the appeal that hostile power blocks must not be inactivated with paralysis from the fear to negotiate for a just peace, President Kennedy began a term of office which ended at dawn last Saturday, an hour the world will always lament. In expressing the sorrow shared by the Filipinos over the death of President Kennedy, I do not imply that America is in danger. President Lyndon Johnson, who is now the 36th President of the United States, is an able leader, as President Kennedy himself had repeatedly said. In establishing where there was none, a new frontier for the equality of men and for peace, President Johnson was truly the partner of his noble predecessor. Possibly, only President Johnson himself now knows the heavy burden that the American presidency means or bears, although he is not by any means a stranger to it, since he was the only other American elected by their countrymen to share the agonies of American leadership. Yet, we find that the grief over President Kennedy's death is so momentous that even history a century or so from today can treat it but with the greatest sorrow. What is most ironic is that, like President Lincoln, an assassin killed the very man who was doing everything to promote, protect, and perpetuate human dignity. Had he been a Joseph Stalin, the death of President Kennedy would have meant little than the renewal or readjustment of certain policies on a worldwide scale by a world power. But President Kennedy was not only a powerful leader, he was a great man. And it is the death of the man who was also a leader that we grieve. We are gathered here this afternoon to give testimony to the deep sorrow that both our peoples now bear on the passing of John F. Kennedy. Yet, we know that this is not enough. We know that grieving alone will not do justice to his memory. Let us then make a firm resolve that we who saw a vision of a new world of peace, justice, and freedom, thanks to the courageous leadership that he gave free men all over the world, thanks to the vigor that he infused into the ideals of democracy as he relentlessly fought for the full flowering of man's dignity, we who saw a brighter tomorrow, thanks to the man that was John Fitzgerald Kennedy, let us all make a resolve that we shall honor him by making his fight our own fight, his vision our own vision. Let us all seek to lift our own lives by striving in our own modest way, no matter how humbly, to contribute to the realization of that world of peace, justice, and freedom that was the holy grail to attain which John F. Kennedy gave everything that was in him, including life itself.
Let us stand. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troublous life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then of thy mercy grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last through Jesus Christ our Lord. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.
Carousel 1.